What does it take to become a saint? Well, live a selfless life. People who raise children are saints, right? But to officially become a saint designated by the Pope, it may take $2 million, 100 years churning through Vatican bureaucracy, what critics call the Vatican saint factory, and scientific proof that a candidate is performing miracles from heaven. Now, there are Catholics who clutch prayer cards to the saints, hoping for those miracles. There are other Catholics questioning the whole process. And when you read about some of the candidates for sainthood, like Emil Capon, it's hard not to ask, what more do you need? Army Chaplain Capon was a hero during the Korean War. When he and his troops were taken captive and on a 60-mile death march, he carried another man on his back the whole way. When they got to a prisoner of war camp in China, he stole blankets to make socks, stole food for them, picked out their lice. When he died, the Chinese said, "Let God save him," mocking his faith and refusing to treat him. The men who survived said he actually started to look like Jesus. When President Obama awarded him the Medal of Honor posthumously in 2013, he called him the Shepherd in Combat Boots. Well, now there's a campaign to name Father Capon a saint, and Joe Drape tells that story in his new book, The Saint Makers Inside the Catholic Church and How a War Hero Inspired a Journey of Faith. That would be Joe Drape's journey, and he joins us now. Joe, start by telling us, who was Father Capon?
Father Capon was a country priest from Pilsen, Kansas. Knew he always wanted to be a priest, and to the extent that he built makeshift altars. Went through seminary, came back to Pilsen, which was a Czech community, and became the parish priest. But he found himself as a military chaplain, first at a nearby army base, and then in World War II. He served the tail end of World War II. His connection with men like him, doers, not sayers. He was able to see the goodness in others and project the goodness that we all are missing most days, especially in this day and age.
Well, he was a father. He administered to the troops, but he was a leader.
No, he was a leader. He smoked a pipe. He had three canteens on his around his neck. He had food. He went from foxhole to foxhole, giving them a smoke, giving them some food, giving them last rites. He was just as popular with the Muslims, the Jewish, the Protestant, the atheists, because he never really preached to them. He said, "Do you have time to say a quick prayer with me?" And, you know, Korea, I had to learn a lot about, was a short, brutal, and largely forgotten war. And he was the one guy on the ground there that saved hundreds of lives by his daring do, and then kept thousands of more lives afloat just by his leadership, his ability to pick men up. I mean, he was all about being an example. He imitated the life of Christ, and people recognized that, Robin.
Yeah. Well, and you say, you know, went to the foxholes to ask them if they would pray. He also ran through enemy fire, often into a foxhole, you know, would say, "Hey, I'm Father Capon," you know, once he dropped in. The men afterwards spoke reverently, you wrote, of how the chaplain retrieved the wounded and saved scores of lives over the course of one 36-hour bloodbath. And his response was, "Oh, don't tell anybody. He might get back to the chief of chaplains." You know, almost feels like he felt either protected in life or that death would not be that big a deal.
Father Hotze, who did the bulk of the research and is leading his cause for sainthood, has a theory about that, that he was fearless from the day he was born because he was so committed to Christ. And it was remarkable on the battlefields. The Chinese, he would just come up to them, push their gun away. When he was in the prison camp, they told him he couldn't go here, he couldn't go there. And he just sort of walked like he was bulletproof. And it was so much to the effect that the Chinese guards were actually afraid of him. At the end, they wanted him to die because he had rallied the troops so much. They thought if, you know, they take this guy out, they could handle the rest of the soldiers much, much easier. And, you know, to your point of how revered he was, when the prisoners were released in 1953, they were let out by a Jewish fighter pilot who had never even met Father Capon, who had gotten there long after he died, who had spent months building a crucifix with the likeness of the priests on there and leading them out, going straight to the newspaper men and telling them about this man and what he meant to them and what he did. You know, the saints are the Catholic Church's superheroes. And two things really need to have happened to be recognized as one. One, you have to have this life of virtue that is worth imitating. But more than that, and this is where he's got in spades, is you got to be relatable. And men particularly saw themselves in this guy. He was a guy who emanated goodness. He was a guy who looked just like them, acted just like them, had put the labor in as a farmer, had put the labor in as a soldier, had been a comforting, resilient presence. And I think that's where he really has galvanized part of Middle America especially, but the military as well.
Well, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is supporting this request for sainthood. As we said, President Obama gave him posthumously the Medal of Honor. But it also takes proven miracles to become a saint. Now, here's Joe Draper. You take us inside, as we said, this machinery. And you've explained to us that the Catholic Church teaches all people in heaven are saints, but these canonized saints are the ones that are the superheroes. There's maybe 10,000 of them. And one of the things that believers believe they do is perform these miracles from heaven. And there were at least two that you documented of people who believed that they were saved or healed by Father Capon.
He was a coach and a teacher when he was a young priest. And both are athletes. One was a pole vaulter. One was a 12-year-old soccer player. And they had these devastating accidents. Their churches, their parishes, even Facebook pages popped up of people asking to pray to Father Capon for their recovery. And what that says in church doctrine, he has some pull or some influence with God. Now, that's the first miracle. Now, those two I outline, that will only be step one. That will get you beatified. That'll get you to the doorstep of canonization. Next, a subsequent miracle has to happen, a miracle that has not occurred yet. That is why the average time between death and canonization is 181 years.
Hmm. Well, and as we're saying this, you well know that there are people who think, well, that's a bunch of hooey. I mean, even within the Catholic faith, I was reading about a Father O'Brien who said, isn't the point that we all live the best lives we can on earth? And you go to the Vatican, you go to the Congregation for the Causes of Saints, which is the office where, you know, all of this research is done as to whether somebody is worthy of becoming a saint. And you remind us that there's been a lot of, not just criticism, but there were scandals about a lot of money coming in to this office. Talk about that, this sense that this may be a relic of the church, but on the other hand, we hear how people so fervently believe in it.
Well, the saint-making machinery has evolved, Robin, and frankly, it's evolved right now into sort of a marketing arm of the Catholic Church. John Paul II recognized that saints slash superheroes, they're good. They're good for business. He did 482 saints in his tenure. He saw it very much as a way to reach the people where they live. And Father Capon does not tick the right boxes right now. He's a priest, an American priest, which, you know, frankly, the Vatican and the rest of the world blames the American priest for the sex scandal that has tarnished the whole religion. Second, he's a military guy. American military guys aren't really beloved in the rest of the world.
Well, meanwhile, what I take from this, though, is, you know, Joe Drape, we also hear about your spiritual journey throughout this. And whether or not this man, Father Capon, you know, whether or not a church decides that he's a saint, he affected you. Learning about the life he lived profoundly affected you and profoundly affects the lives of a lot of people in Kansas. That's, in a way, enough.
Robin, I couldn't agree with you more. There's a lot of people, me included, who say he's already a saint.
No matter what some office at the Vatican says. Joe Drape, and the book about Father Capon is The Saint Makers, Inside the Catholic Church and How a War Hero Inspired a Journey of Faith. Joe, thank you as always.
Robin, stay healthy and safe, and this too shall pass.